The courtyard was cobbled. Her wheelchair wobbled and jerked under my hands as I pushed her. "We've fallen out, Gran," I told her. "I'm not stupid, Prentice, I can see that." She looked up at me. Her eyes were fierce and grey as they always had been. Her hair was grey now too, and thinning. The summer sun cleared the surrounding oaks and I could see her pale scalp through the wisps of white. "No, Gran, I know you're not stupid." "Well then," she waved her stick towards the outhouses. "Let's see if that damn car's still there." She glanced back at me again as I wheeled the chair round on its new heading towards the green double doors of one of the courtyard garages. "Well then," she repeated. I sighed. "It's a matter of principle, Gran." Stopping at the garage doors, she used her stick to knock the hasp off its staple, pushed at one door till its planks bowed slightly, then, wedging her stick into the resulting gap, levered the other door open. Inside it was dark. Motes swirled in the sunlight, falling across a black entrance. I could just make out the corner of a thin green tarpaulin draped about level with my waist. In many ways, 1888 was an annus mirabilis for Glasgow. Its world-leading industries were thriving as never before, its population burgeoning, its confidence unrestrained. What made its preeminence all the more remarkable was that just a decade before, in 1878, it had suffered a financial crash of epic proportions. The City of Glasgow Bank, a rock-solid pillar of the business establishment, went bust, owing the astounding sum for the time of £12 million. The knock-on effect was equally disastrous, with business after business following it into liquidation, and several of the bank's ultra-respectable church-going directors being sent to jail. The rapid recovery from that disaster was typical of Glasgow's entrepreneurial class, which had consistently demonstrated a capacity to adapt to changing circumstances. Glasgow's first real wave of prosperity in the 18th century had been fuelled by the importation of tobacco and sugar from the New World. Then, when that well ran dry, the city moved on to a host of other industries, chief among them cotton manufacturing.